Welcome to the Incremental Steps podcast.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Stephanie. And we are a couple of curvy, savvy, curious, wise women trying to strike a balance between career, family, and self-care while striving to leave the planet better off than the way we found it.
We are learning that we can't do it alone. We need each other, all of us. So each week or two, we're going to check in with each other on our health goals and challenge each other to find new ways to leave a lighter footprint.
Well, hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Christine. How are you doing?
Honestly, I'm tired.
Yeah, me too.
We had a big weekend.
We did have a big weekend. We had two kids at prom.
Yeah, I know. It was much more intense than I expected it
to be. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be totally honest right now. Game of Thrones was more intense.
Really?
Yeah.
I
was fine with my daughter going to prom.
I have a full confession.
Okay.
I've never watched Game of Thrones.
I know. That can be easily rectified.
I know, but I'm kind of nervous too. Because like I have a lot of dear friends that are like intensely addicted to that show. Like we're waiting. And like, I don't know. You know, I'm not a huge TV watcher. I'm a Netflix watcher because I don't have regular TV.
Well, then you're going to have to wait a while before it comes out on Netflix.
Right? So see, I can't get addicted. Or then I'd have to be at your house every, is it Sunday night?
I mean, that'd be fine. I'd be happy to rewatch it. It's not a problem. But it is, I mean, I will say it's like, it is definitely the most ambitious TV show ever.
Really?
So, yeah. So I mean, just for that alone.
You might have to think about that. Okay. Well, so we should do some I Could Talk Abouts about what we could talk about this week.
Okay. What we could talk about this week. We could talk about travel.
Oh, yes. I could talk about these lingering allergies.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I could talk about being somehow blessedly immune to those allergies. Everybody around me suffers, but I don't.
I could talk about my purple irises.
Oh, yes. You sure could. I could talk about finally being done putting things in the ground.
I could talk about 80-degree weather this week and what it means for my aversion to watering.
Oh my gosh, I think we could probably both talk about having greenish brownish thumbs.
I could talk about composting.
Oh yeah, okay, well you know what, let's do that. Let's talk about composting. Let's get right into
it. Let's dive in, because that was our environmental challenge last week.
That's
so
right.
How'd it go for you?
It was fine, actually. I have a sort of a medium, I have a big coffee cup, coffee can, but it's just a coffee can, so it gets full pretty fast. And it was good for me to have to go dump it out every day or two. It was a good reason for me to go check on the garden and see how everything was going. And I've been doing a lot of work in the garden anyway, so it really wasn't difficult for me to do it. And if I can just be more, stay in that habit of constantly being doing it and just not being lazy, then yeah, I think it'll be good. It'll be definitely a good step workout periodically.
That's awesome. I had a fun reminder. I don't know if you saw it on our Facebook page at Incremental Steps. We have a Facebook page and we have our website. But I posted that my neighbor had randomly, and I don't know if it was because she, I don't think she had listened to our podcast, but maybe she had.
You think that was just random?
I don't know. I need to ask her. I haven't seen her. So she said, hey, can I put, I have some asparagus and potatoes that have gone past their mark. Can I throw them in your compost? And I was like, absolutely. And that, it reminded me to post our last episode. And it also got me inspired, right? Because not only am I using my compost, but my neighbor's using my compost, which
that's
is really
great.
Yeah.
Shout and out so, to Mary, who I think is
right.
listening.
Well, so. Isn't that awesome? Go, Mary, go. Yeah, it was awesome. And I was pleasantly surprised with how well I did. I have a, I don't know, it's a canister that I use for my compost. So medium size, not large, has a lid on it. I was cleaning out my fridge this week, which, you know, always means more.
Right.
So I went out. Now, I do have ants in my compost, which I'd rather have worms than ants. So I'm a little curious about that, and I haven't had time to research. Because I was thinking, you know, ants kind of do the same thing that worms do, but I don't really want ants in my garden, when I go to use it.
Well, I'd be interested to hear what you find out, because my research is spotty.
Okay.
But I think you shouldn't be able to have anything but worms able to live in it.
Oh, like if so you have, something's wrong.
If you have animal, yeah, if you have critters in it, I think it means it's not hot enough.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know, I don't
well,
know
that's a good thing to
worms,
research.
You shouldn't either. Yeah, it is a good thing to research because yeah. I know the worms do castings and stuff, but I don't know if you have to have a different temperature for that or if that's a whole different thing. Okay. I haven't really looked into that.
Oh, we're
going to
get
lot.
Serious about this, aren't we?
You have no idea how deep you can dive into this. It's insane.
People, I don't know that I have enough time in my life for a deep dive into compost.
It is the weirdest. People get so judgy if they right? are into composting about how you compost. Oh, you put lemons in there?
They're definitely judging.
You know, that's citrus.
Like, really?
Yeah, it's lemons.
No, I know there's an issue about meat, for sure. You're not supposed to do
right?
that. But it's interesting because I tend not to compost my citrus, not because I know anything about that. Like, that's new to me. But you know what I like to do with my citrus is I like to put vinegar over it and then use it as a cleaner. So, like, I will either put them down the garbage disposal to naturally mm-hmm. clean the garbage. So, like, I had a tangerine that was dicey, and my garbage disposal was smelling a little bit. So, I just threw it down the garbage disposal
and
let it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right? And then, or I like to, if I'm doing a big thing where I'm peeling a lot, I like to put it in a mason jar and pour vinegar over it and get a natural cleansing syrup.
Well, we'll have to exchange some natural cleaning recipes
right
here soon sometime.
I act like I do that all the time, but full
I
confession.
I've done it twice.
Yeah, that's about me too. I like it when I do it though, right?
I don't think it works very well.
Oh, I liked it when I did it. Now I had a lot. Like, I mean, I had it stuffed full because I was doing an event. It was in October. It's been a little bit, but where have you ever seen that tray? It's on Pinterest, which I'm not good at that stuff either, but it was where you take tangerines or little clementines and you make pumpkins out of them.
Oh,
and then
okay,
you
yeah.
take bananas and you make ghosts out of them.
Oh, cute.
With like, and so I was doing an event and I did that. So I had all these peels and I was like,
gotcha.
I've been wanting to do this
right.
forever. But it was a ton of peels. And I think that was the difference. And then I let it set for a while. So it really got
in there.
Yeah. I don't know. I really liked it. So I would be tempted to do it again. But the issue is I don't know that my crew eats enough citrus.
I've done the same thing with oil and used it for like furniture polish.
Oh, yeah.
And that works too. But,
okay.
But yeah,
cool.
at any rate, yeah, everybody wants to tell you what you can and cannot put in your compost.
Girl, I do not have time for that.
I know.
I barely have enough time to compost. Much. Don't be judging my compost,
exactly.
People out there listening.
I've got this.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far to say that I've got it, but here's the reality. I don't have time to, like, it's like the fact that I'm composting, I give myself a gold star, right? Like,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, exactly.
And then I'll figure out the ant issue. I'll figure that out,
you
but
will.
I do need to do a little research. But I was proud. Things went in the compost. I was, you know what I realized this week while composting? I drink a lot of tea. Because I composted all my tea bags.
Yeah, you have a lot of tea in there.
And, you know, I usually drink water and tea. Those are the two things I drink. I drink a lot of tea, especially when I'm stressed or I'm not feeling that great. I composted a lot of tea bags this week. Yeah.
I haven't been doing the nourishing herbal infusions like I usually
oh,
do.
Me
and
either.
That's a ton of stuff to put in there. So
ooh,
I need to start doing that again.
Me too. I don't know that we should this week because we're both traveling, but I'm up for that too because I really like those. I've been sick. That may be another factor to all this.
Yeah, actually it will help with allergies.
Right?
The nettles will. So we'll talk about that offline. But we should get back into that. And that's more stuff to compost, and then it's more good stuff for your garden. So.
Right? Oh, that's a good idea. How is your garden, by the way?
It looks great. It's been so far, and I don't want to jinx it, but it's mm-hmm. been a perfect growing summer, spring, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's been like sunny and then rain, and then sunny
yep.
and then rain. It hasn't been like a lot of overcast days. It's been
yeah.
really good for putting stuff in the ground, so...
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I, you know, one of my favorite quotes is comparison is the thief of joy. So I have to be careful not to compare my garden to other people's gardens, because I rolled up to my friend Winnie and Aaron's garden the other day, and holy cow, like, it was picture perfect. Like, they had these gorgeous romaine lettuce, like, that,
I mean, really?
Gorgeous. I was like, how do you not have 1,000 bunnies here? Like, it looked, it was
nice.
But they have this beautiful sunny spot. Like, I struggle with sun in my yard.
Yeah.
Because I've got lettuce, but it's just not that big and gorgeous. So I was, so I don't want to compare my garden to anybody else's, but it's going. It's like the little engine that could. I'm curious to see how it goes. But talking about my irises, like, I have to tell you about my purple irises.
I've seen pictures. They look amazing.
God. I think I posted them our social media, and they've even gotten better this week. Mm. So these are irises that I transplanted from a previous house. Now, what I can't remember, and I vaguely remember this, but my memory is so bad, I think I may have originally brought them from Texas. That's the part I can't remember. Did I bring them from Texas from the other house? Or that's the piece I don't... But I know for sure I transplanted them from the last house. I just don't know their lineage, right? But they are these beautiful purple irises.
They are. They're gorgeous.
And they have just multiplied. So when I pull up into my yard, it just makes me smile. And they always bloom on Sammy's birthday.
Oh,
and she's
nice.
My youngest. And last Friday was her 17th birthday. So I always cut one for her birthday tray, because we have a tradition in our family that when it's your birthday, you get a birthday breakfast, and you get to have whatever you want on your birthday tray, and we wake you up by singing happy birthday.
Just sounds lovely.
Yeah, so it is, except usually for mom, who's up super early fixing the breakfast.
Well, you know, you get Mother's Day.
Right? Oh, wait, that is coming up, isn't it?
It is.
I should remind people.
Yes, you should.
Oh, man. So it sounds like our composting went well. We're going to continue that. So it won't be a challenge, but it will just be a continual, let's see how far we can go and what we can do.
Well, and you know, my garden's a big experiment this year, so we'll also get to find out how well it works for feeding the garden, too. So,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Okay, I like it. So this week, why don't we just talk about our challenge before we skip into anything else? What are we thinking for our environmental challenge this week?
So I think for this week, because we're both going out of town, so it's kind of hard to do something that takes an entire week to do. So what we talked about was that we would find out, we would go around the house and kind of do an assessment of what can we unplug. So we're not just keeping extra things plugged in and sort of sapping energy when we don't need to be. What can we do to keep that energy level lower?
Can I tell you what came in the mail this week? Not just electronically, they actually sent me a paper copy of how bad I'm doing with the my house compared to other houses.
Oh,
it is so comparison is a theme of joy. I am like at 150% of energy versus other houses.
Why do you think that is?
I'm thinking I've got to get my AC checked.
You think
I think it's just time of the year? Well, I think it's a couple of things. I mean, I live pretty much, well, the 17-year-old's the youngest, but that's pretty much four adults living in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's on a regular schedule. I mean, I'm probably the one that's on the most regular schedule. So it's like all the lights don't ever go off in the house. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, somebody's always up or going. But I like the idea of this unplug thing, because that may be one thing. Who knows how many electronics are plugged in? I think we were talking offline before we got online about, are you one of those people that unplug things? And I am when I notice them. But I don't, it's not conscientious, right? Like, if I see a toaster plugged in, oh, heck yeah, I'm unplugging it. Even if I'm at somebody else's house.
I love that confession. You do that. That is so my mother-in-law.
Right? It's my nanny. So my nanny, who is my paternal grandmother, used to read like the Reader's Digest. Do you remember? Like, she had a subscription, and they would always have those stories of like what went horribly wrong or I almost died stories. And she was religious about reading those and telling us everything, how you could die, right?
Oh my God.
And I'm sure the toaster.
And it was always the toaster.
I'm sure the toaster was one of it, because I grew up with that irrational, like, that your toaster should always be unplugged.
What is that? that? Do they? Know. Why?
Because
why
I think is they it used always, to not be. Safe.
Why is it always the toaster in the bathtub if you want to kill somebody? Why a toaster? Why? What is the fear of the toaster specifically?
I don't know. I hadn't even thought about the bathtub scenario in a long time.
But it's I was a thinking thing. About the like, hair dryer.
Oh, right, right. Well, yeah, absolutely.
I guess the hair dryer too. But okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. But yes to unplugging things. So we're going to go around, do an assessment, unplug things that can be unplugged.
And yeah, and convince the family to keep it that way, I guess.
Unless they're using it. Right. If it's in use. Now, okay, so tell me about that in regards to phone chargers.
Well.
So they shouldn't be plugged in all the time.
I don't know how much energy it really steals.
Right.
But I know it's all, you know, like the grid is running through your house all the time. And the more you've got dragging on it, the more energy is just being wasted. Well, so if you have
energy is definitely being wasted at my house and I need to figure out where and why.
Yeah, and the thing is, I haven't done that assessment and I need to do that assessment because I bet I'm 100 times worse than you. Especially now that we have now a hot tub. And
I love it.
And I will say compared to other hot tubs, it's probably very energy efficient because we can unplug it anytime mm-hmm. we want and fold it up and put it away. But, you know, when it's on. Like, right. if we want it to be hot, right. it has to be constantly heating with water.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I do have I have a freezer that was recently added, but it said it was energy efficient. So I could
I
think it might be it.
I think that might be. Well, something. It just doesn't seem right because I know how you are.
Right.
And you're a thrifty person.
I am.
And
we've
you're
got,
a conscientious person.
And we've also got the good windows. And like, we've got
weird
the
that
windows.
You're higher than other people around you.
Right? I know.
I just don't buy that unless there's something that's...
Well, but honestly, well, okay, I will have to admit, too, I'm not one of those people that keeps my thermostat high. I don't like to be hot. So it could
like
be...
The truth is coming out.
Okay, I mean, because let's be really honest. I am a middle-aged woman who is occasionally having hot flashes. Occasionally.
Do you have an internal combustion engine right now?
And so... But I've always run hot. Like, I have always... So I think that may be it, too. I think I keep my house cooler than others. And if my AC is not being as efficient as it needs to be... Like, I was thinking the other day, I saw one of those big ads about, you know, it's time to get your... AC update. And I thought that may be it. It may be as simple as that. Like I may need to, so I don't know that I can get that done this week, as far as a tune up on it, but I do know that's on my list pretty quick here.
Okay.
To see, because when I thought I'm doing better and then I got that report and I'm like, no.
Yeah. I'm very afraid that if you're at 150%, I'm at like 200%.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I leave doors open. We let the dogs come and go in the backyard.
Well, see, we also have cats that come and go that we're opening doors for all the time. Who knows what it is?
That's wild. Okay. So anyway,
chaos is what it is.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go around and physically look at things and just see like...
And unplug.
Because there are also things that like... Are there things that you don't use very often that are just sitting there plugged in?
Probably.
Aren't really...
Absolutely.
No. Yeah. So those can definitely be...
My Vitamix. Oh.
My Instant Pot. Your Vitamix. Man, I use my Vitamix every single day.
Well, I do use it all the time, but it doesn't need to be plugged in until I'm using it. Because if I use it for 10 minutes, it doesn't need to be plugged in the rest of the time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
All right.
So.
Let's see how that goes.
Can I just acknowledge our privilege right at this moment? I just have to stop and acknowledge our privilege because
I'm arguing about whether the Instant Pot or the Vitamix.
Right? I just have to say, very definitely suburban mom moment that we have these tools. I'm grateful for these tools.
No, I'm going to push back on that because that was the first thing I learned in herbalism is if you want to be serious about herbal medicine, you have to have a Vitamix. It's the only thing that will... break up the pieces that you need to be able to make things. And that's why I got it.
Okay.
I use it all the time for all kinds of other things.
Right.
I bought it for a specific purpose.
Okay. I was lucky enough because my husband got a bonus and we were in Costco.
Oh,
and
nice.
You got
a new one.
I had been wanting one for like 6 years and it had been on my wish list. And we happened to be in there and they were doing the sales pitch and I must have had like a dewy, glassy-eyed look in my face. And my husband was like, you really want that? I was like, yeah. But he fell for the whole sales pitch that it would replace things. like the juicer and and the Cuisinart. So he had in his head, if he bought it for me, that three other appliances would go away. No, that didn't happen. And he's like, why do we still have the juicer? Because the juicer is completely different than the mixer. Like, you know, because you can totally juice in the Vitamixer, but it's pulpy, right? And there's some things
I don't think mine can. I don't think it even has, like, it can smoothie things.
Right, smoothie. Can,
yeah.
Well, smoothie. So, but that's not a juice. Like, no, right? It's definitely. And so, yeah, but I just want to acknowledge that privilege. And it was a gift. And I was grateful. And
I bought mine on eBay.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I was spoiled. It really was the most expensive appliance I think I've ever bought. And would I do it again? Absolutely. I use that thing. It's an amazing tool.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that I think, you know, you always hear the right tool for the right job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is definitely a kitchen tool. That now, I know, totally off track, but let's talk about it anyways. Our Instapots. Hello.
I'm not a big fan.
What?
It takes up so much real estate on my counter, and I really only use it for beans and rice, which I could just put it in a pot anyway.
Heck no. I totally disagree with you on this, my friend.
Well, okay, but also, you eat meat and I don't.
Well, that's true.
My family will not, like, eat a roast.
Oh, so okay. So the Instapot, for those of y'all that don't know, has been like a fad for the last year or 2 years. But I had mine before it was a fad. I just want to say that. well, because I started eating paleo probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And it was a popular tool in that community well before it got more mainstream. But it's like the R2-D2 of the kitchen. Like, it even makes really cool R2-D2 noises. So it takes the place of a steamer, a crock pot, a pressure cooker. So it's an electronic pressure cooker, which I grew up with pressure cookers. Like, I love pressure cookers. I like the way it tastes. I love all that. So to have this tool, one of my favorite tools in the kitchen. So I do curries in it. I boil my eggs in it. Have you ever boiled eggs in it?
I haven't, but...
Oh, perfectly boiled eggs. Okay. About timing. Do you know the egg bites from a popular, I'm trying not to do shout outs because you're all like, you give shout outs to a popular coffee chain that has egg bites, the sous vide, right? Things. The sous vide things. I learned how to make those in the Instapot.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan, and especially when I'm doing meal prep and planning. Like this week, part of our camping is I'm going to be making a curry dish that I make in the Instapot. And I love it.
You're going to make it while you're camping?
I'm going to make it ahead of time and freeze it.
Oh, okay.
And then just heat it up when I'm camping.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I could. I think there's going to be a generator, but I'm not a huge fan of generators. I like the natural
stuff. Well, and I do like about the Instant Pot that it is just, it is like an appliance that kind of can replace a whole stove. I've got a gas stove, so I don't know if that's better or not. What's better? This is something that bugs me, actually. Like, I would love for us to get to the bottom of this. Like, when is it better to use electric versus gas?
Right. What's more energy efficient?
Right. What's, I don't.
Could my Instapot be causing those high numbers? I don't think so.
Hilarious.
I don't think so, but oh my God. Investigative reporting 101.
I so want a report. I need a consumer report that says, for this thing, you should do this. And for that thing, you should do that. I don't understand. And I mean, that's, I guess, what we're trying to get to the bottom of.
Right.
Just trying things. But we don't have any way of measuring the energy.
Well, so that's another interesting point. I have an electric stove versus a gas stove, which I don't, you know, it was with the house when we bought it. Not a big fan. I would much rather have a gas stove.
Oh, well, that totally could be why.
I wonder, right, because we use our oven and our stove every day.
All the time.
Right?
Yeah. If, you're, and if what your neighbors is, have gas.
That's... Which I know Mary does. I don't know about the other neighbors. Going around, knock on the door. Hey, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this comparison report.
Remember that time that you borrowed some sugar from me? I just wanted to come over and ask a few questions. I hope you don't mind. Do you have a...
Gas or electric? Gas or electric? Boxers or briefs? Let's just get to the bottom of all the neighbors' issues.
Okay, well, so what about your, I had never even heard of having a gas washer and dryer. Have you heard of this?
Yes. Yes. I didn't know about the washer. I knew about the dryer. Like when I grew up in Texas, some dryers would be gas.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
But apparently it is where my husband's from in Pennsylvania. A lot of people have gas washer and dryers.
How does that, is the washer? Well, it wouldn't really be the washer. It would be the water heater.
I don't know. I mean, they said it was, because I asked those questions. I'm like, you've got a water heater and your stove and your washer and dryer? And they were like, yeah. So I don't
know. Interesting.
Yeah.
I had heard of the dryer before from connections, but I mean, I thought that was kind of old school. I didn't know that still.
I don't understand anything in Pennsylvania. Like they still are, you know, heating their homes with like coal sometimes. So it's a world I only kind of understand.
Right. Because we both grew up in Texas, and
right.
We didn't, I mean, we had space heaters when we were growing up for the week or 2 weeks that we needed.
we had central heat. You're making it sound like you lived in a log cabin.
No, I lived in an old farmhouse that did not have central heat in there. I remember, and it didn't happen often because in Texas, like it didn't get crazy cold, but when it did, like it got crazy cold. Like it didn't last for a long time, but it was drastic. Right.
Right. And
so
windy.
I remember this one time as a kid, cause we didn't have heaters upstairs because of fire safety issues. So we would just have quilts and blankets and usually that was good enough.
Really?
Right?
You just went to bed at night and it was like cold outside.
But see, that's why I like my house so cold. Right. Mm. Cause that's how I sleep when I love sleeping when it's cold with a big old quilt on me. There were two issues with it. My sister, who's my younger sister and stayed up much later than I would come upstairs barefooted. And when it was a cold night like that, she wouldn't crawl into her bed. She would crawl into my bed where I had been there warm for probably a good hour.
Ooh, with her
and then
toes.
Put her feet on my legs.
Oh,
I remember
no.
that. And then the second issue, I remember one year waking up and there was ice on the inside of the windows. Do you know how, like, but it's so rare in Texas. Like, I mean, I know it stands out, but it wasn't all the time. Like,
yeah.
It was, like, maybe once in my childhood.
Well, okay, so, I mean, our kids would be flabbergasted by the temperature extremes that we were totally used to growing up.
Because,
I mean, like, I don't think I went to a school that had air conditioning until maybe high school.
Right.
And that was all in Texas. We weren't allowed to wear shorts.
No.
Yeah.
And we had fans, and we'd sit out under the shade.
Yeah. I mean, and in Texas, there were breezeways, but... Yeah.
We're not from the north, where we can say we slogged uphill in the snow, uphill both ways in the snow. But we got heat stories, right?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you all about when it was 90 degrees in class, and they were, like, putting tar on the roof, and, you know,
Stinky.
Exactly.
Yeah, one episode we'll have to talk about off-gassing, because I have horrible stories about, like... paint when they would paint the school, like God
oh,
only
yeah.
It's probably what's wrong with me. I mean
you should definitely sue.
We were all like, is that generation? Who knows?
Yeah, I know. Right? Well, we also grew up in a generation when it was like, okay, it's 90 degrees outside. Bye. I'll see you tonight.
Right? Absolutely. But, you know, that's why we played in the creeks and got out under the trees and, you know, had
catching
a good
crawfish.
Time. Oh, my gosh. Making mud pies. All of it. Absolutely.
Oh,
nothing better than fresh blackberries. I mean, we used to eat out of the garden. I mean, that was part of our snacks. Like I grew up on a small farm that was farm to table before that was even a term. Like, I mean, we had peach trees.
We had pear trees.
We had pecan trees. We had fig trees.
Nice.
We had blackberries. You had to watch out for the snakes, you know. It's Texas, man. They like the blackberry bushes.
Did you have scorpions?
Not where we were. They do now, but it wasn't, it was very rare you saw a scorpion. No, it was more you had to watch out for the snakes,
wow.
for poisonous snakes. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and fire ants, you know, in our lifetime, fire ants came in.
Heck yeah.
Those were horrible. But yeah, so it was good. I mean, a lot of work, but a lot of fun. You know, I think about it now because I have blueberry bushes right now that are currently blooming in my yard. And I think about, I want to add a few more fruit trees.
They're blooming?
Well, they have fruit on them.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I mean, they're producing at the moment.
You've got late bloomers.
No, they're producing. I just now have to kind of protect them. Hopefully, I'll get some blueberries instead of all the birds getting blueberries. So.
Oh.
We'll see.
If not, I'll share.
Thank you. How many you got? How many bushes
we
you got?
We have two bushes that are nice. Mature and then one that's like halfway mature.
I think I'm on year four with these. So I think it's going to be my first really good crop of blueberries.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
I think this is
going to
be a good year for them.
Yeah, we've had a lot of nice rain. I mean, but like what we were talking about with the 80 degree weather, you know, this is when it gets hardcore, right? We have to start paying attention. And both you and I are traveling at the end of the week. So, like, I haven't looked if there's rain in the forecast. I'm kind of a Darwinian gardener. Survival of the fittest.
It's supposed to rain on Saturday. I think I may have to water it at least once before I go.
Yeah. Part of what was on our list of 20 things was to work in the garden. What was it? 10 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day?
I just said 5 minutes a day, 3 times a week.
Yeah, which if you're watering, that pretty much does
it.
Like I pulled some weeds this week and I was watering and did I tell you that I had a foxglove that came up voluntary?
Yeah, you asked me what it was.
Oh, that's right. I think I posted on our social media. It was pretty. I mean, it's
gorgeous.
You know, but they're also poisonous. Where it came up, the only thing I can think is a bird pooped it out, right?
Oh, really? That wasn't somebody didn't give you
no.
that one?
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow. It just popped up.
It just popped up this year. I've never had that in my
garden.
That is wild. So that has to be what it was, like a bird on my butterfly bush, because where it was.
Okay.
So, it was a total surprise this year, which I love that. And then I sent you a picture of something that we think is bee balm that's coming up voluntary, because it's in a container on my patio.
It looks like bee balm.
I know. I'm excited to see it bloom. I'll post a picture of that on our social media because I'm
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I like letting things just happen. Are they weeds? Are they voluntary flowers? Like I kind of like to wait.
So we get voluntary. This is what happens to us from previous composting years. We get surprise. We usually say, like, where's the surprise pumpkin going to be this year? Because we almost always get a pumpkin or, like, a butternut squash or something that we didn't plant. We don't know why it's there.
That's cool.
Yeah, it means the compost isn't hot enough. But I don't care because I get, like, cool things that I didn't mean to get.
Right.
Like, sometimes we'll get tomato plants out of nowhere.
That's fun.
All right. Yeah, it's great. You'll love it. You will love the world of composting because you will have all kinds of
surprises
around your yard.
I'm a huge fan of surprises.
You
know, some people don't like surprises because they've had bad surprises in their life, but I'm a fan of surprises. Like, I'm like, all right. I like
surprises should always be good. Whoever's going around leaving people bad surprises the worst kind of.
Absolutely.
It's just the worst.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that.
Okay, right. So I feel like we have danced around talking about our 20 things.
Oh, Lordy.
As hard as we can.
You know me and avoidance.
We have to face it now. I think I did pretty well this week. I will start with me because I can tell that you are just jumping at the opportunity to get in there.
Let's hear it.
I'm looking for the list now. I think I got 19.
Oh, yeah. You kicked my butt.
I think the only one that I didn't do, I wasn't paying attention to.
Okay.
I was like, oh, snap. I'm supposed to be. And that was the second helping. I don't think I was eating enough greens.
Oh, okay.
Everything else I think I did because I was really like, okay, I'm going to put this on my calendar. And I'm going to, like, doing the things, the stuff that had to be done, working in the garden, doing the like morning and evening yoga or whatever, that was fine. I didn't have a problem with that. Most of the food stuff was fine. We were allowed to have one day of cheating, right?
Yes. Okay. Well, we said one meal. Did we say one day or one meal? We were kind of going back and forth with one meal,
but that's fine. I only had one.
I can totally get behind either one of those.
Why don't we make that something that we get to call during the week? And we're traveling this week, so why don't we give ourselves a day?
We are totally taking a day.
I'm on board with that. So that said, I realized I was like, oh, I'm having a smoothie in the morning, but I'm not having a salad or anything on any other time during the day. So I just sort of missed that. But so that was my miss.
Okay. I would say I did 15 out of the 20.
That's good.
The exercise this week, I still just was not recovered from, I'm still struggling. Like, you can hear it in my voice. Like, I've still got allergies. I just needed more sleep this week. And so I was hit or miss, but I definitely wasn't the five times a week. Now, that being said, I mean, I did well on the greens. I did well on the, I did a couple of yogas, but I didn't hit five per week. And definitely I hit the art because I teach it once a week. That's a good one, right?
That one was a challenge for me. Like, I had to really be intentional about making time right? for that one.
And there's some I think I'm going to tweak. Like, okay, yeah. All that to be said, for still being sick, I'll take a 15 out of 20 and take a $5 hit. But I can also tell you I'm funky. Like, and I know I'm funky because I haven't hit my exercise goals. I don't know if it's a combo of not hitting my exercise goals because for my mental health, I always need to do my exercise, or if it's that and a combo of still not feeling 100%, right? Like, I was like, today, and then you throw in grief and loss. We were having this conversation, like, it really hit me hard this week about my 17-year-old, like, with her birthday and then, like, prom. Like, whoo, it was a hard mommy week this week. I know. I'm surprised because, like, you've got a senior and you're, like, smooth and you're doing great.
I may be in very hardcore denial right now.
Denial? Okay. If you want to live there, that's okay. I just noticed, like, I am weepy. Like, I was beautiful and I was glad to be around these kiddos. And I think I mentioned to you, you know, I've had a Girl Scout troop since these kids were in third grade. So it's not just Sammy. Yeah. I mean, it's also this whole troop. I mean, it's about 15 other, all of it. And my role as a full-time parent, like all of that, which I have a full amazing life in addition to my kids. Like in my kid, like it's very interesting. I'm just really noticing within myself, like how challenging it is for me, and I didn't really expect it to be.
Well, I think I'm behind on grief actually, and actually I did notice this week I, you know, was doing the things and keeping pretty busy, and like a serious amount of weight just fell right off.
Whoa.
And then I wondered, is that, I would love to know the relationship between weight and inflammation.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I felt better, like, internally.
See, and I haven't this week, and I'm up. So I would think absolutely, because I was doing so much better last week, and it was just falling off, and this week I'm back up. And the only thing, I mean, I'm still fighting whatever this is.
Well, I'm at a weight now that I haven't weighed since my mom died, and I noticed...
And how long ago was that?
2011.
Okay.
So... I notice I'm like some of that is coming up for me. It's almost
congrats on the weight loss, and right. I'm but sorry
like,
about the.
It's almost
and
like
loss.
Grief is stored in your fat cells.
Oh God, yes.
Like I you go back, you. Like I feel like I'm going backwards in time with things that I haven't really dealt with.
Yeah.
So that's coming up for me. So Haley's going to have to wait a little while.
Right? Okay. No, I totally hear you, and I think we mentioned that before. Like I know that's where some of my weight loss issues come from is protection. And having to deal with those issues, like, as we go through this journey, right?
Yeah.
Huge believer, y'all, for those of y'all that know, trained as a therapist, so huge believer in therapy. So not recommending that you go through this by yourself if, you know, if this conversation triggers you or you think about it, that, you know, yeah, reach out and get support, whether it's support of friends or support of a professional therapist or a coach, you know, whatever, because it's big stuff. Like, even as I said, like, it's big stuff that comes up when we're dealing with this. It's not just a matter of, oh, eat right and lose weight. Like, there's other things attached with it.
I have a hard time grieving in a linear, normal sort of way, too.
Most people do.
I am kind of all over the place. But also, my mom died such a... it was just such a painful journey watching her slowly disappear.
Yeah.
She had Lewy body's dementia. That I think a lot of it, I just was like, I can only deal with this much.
Right.
I'm only going to, I can cope with what I'm going to cope with.
But right.
I've still got to function as a mother and wife and
sure.
professional. And
sure.
So now I do think some of that's kind of backing up on me a little bit.
All right. Well, it's a good thing to notice, right?
Yeah. Because that's, you know, like, the story that we're told is, you know, you lose the weight and everything will be
hunky-dory.
Yeah, then everything will be great. Anything that you want it to be, you'll have. And that's not, it's not that
right.
Straight a line.
Right. Right. And is that the truth? Right. Is that, cause some things you don't want to have, right? Like you may not want the extra attention, or you may not want the comments, or you may not want, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. So that is a really good thing to notice. Yeah. I'm not there yet. I think I'm hanging right where we've been from the beginning. I mean, I lose it and then it comes right back
on. Well, I will say this. I had a glass of wine with dinner when we were taking the kids out for a prom. Like we went out on our own while the kids were at a different restaurant.
Yeah.
And then like the way a lot of it bounced right back. So either there's also the possibility that my little fancy electronic scale is like plus or minus 5 pounds.
All right, let's go for the minus. Woo! That'll suck on the plus days, right?
That is a really shitty margin of error if you're trying to lose weight. But it might also just be like, I don't know, like water here and there.
Right, so absolutely.
I don't know what's going on, but I was like, woo,
well,
yay.
I know the correlation for me, too, is 7+ hours of sleep, which I was looking, if I didn't put that on my 20 things, I may look at that, because it is really hardcore for me that I need to get 7+ hours of sleep.
Yeah.
I know there's a correlation. I've watched it over this past year.
I was good until the weekend, and then the weekend I didn't sleep well.
Yeah.
And then last night I didn't sleep well because it was episode 3 of season 8 Game of Thrones.
Which I have no knowledge about.
Yeah.
Except that I have friends.
It's
that
just
love it.
It's the moment that we've been waiting for all 7 seasons. So.
Okay.
I know you don't know.
No spoilers. Okay.
I'm just saying it was a big episode.
All right.
Yeah, and it was gut-wrenching, but
so this week we're
going to walk around
and unplug. All right.
We're going to stay the course and adjust.
And then health-wise, we're going to keep going with our 20 things. But what else do we want to add something? Do we want to think about it? We were talking about some meditation.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I think it's cool to just kind of maybe just throw that in the mix. And also, before we get to there, though, also, because we're traveling, I've kind of front-loaded my week so that by the time I'm traveling, I can still keep, like obviously I can't work in the garden.
Right.
If I'm not.
I love how you're a planner, and I'm glad you're reminding me of all this, because I'm all like, what day is it?
It's Monday. We didn't record yesterday because we were really tired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but things do have to happen. So I'm just saying, like, that's just something to be mindful of. I'm going to try really hard to still do the 20 things this week, even but knowing that traveling throws a monkey wrench in that.
I mean, and that's the whole thing, right, about this whole adventure, is what really works. Like, the reality is when you have other people besides yourself that you're responsible for, and other things like jobs and human beings, it is hard sometimes to stay the course, right?
Yeah.
It is. And so I think that's part of our grand experiment when we talked about this. Like, we're going to set measurable goals. We're going to set lofty goals, and sometimes I think we'll reach them and sometimes we don't. And,
right. If we don't set goals that are a little bit of a challenge to attain, then what's the point?
Right. Absolutely. And I also think for me, like, the things that I know work, because, new research, I'd have to look it up. I meant to look it up before I came today and I didn't get it done. It's something like 66 days now or longer for a new habit to set into effect or to really get, like, it used to be 28 days and
it used to be 21.
Right.
And that was totally debunked.
Right. And so now it's longer. And the whole thing about,
even then, I think, even, I mean, I'm not sure even that's long enough, because I can go 8 weeks into a program and do pretty well and then just drop it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just need to keep having the accountability and, shooting for 20. And if I hit 15, that's, 15 more than I probably would have done. I definitely ate more vegetables this week, and I definitely had more green smoothies and drank more water because I was conscious of it. Right. So that's that thing, the intentionality and being conscious of what brings us health.
And that's where meditation kind of comes in too.
Right.
So
meditation for health.
Yeah. So I know it's a popular thing that people talk about. It's kind of drop, like name dropping a lot in meditation. But it really is a good practice, and it's very simple to just get quiet and get still and get centered and just stop. Just stop trying to think about what you've got to plan. Stop trying to figure out the right. next thing and just be present in that moment and appreciate that moment for what it is. And also, you know, quiet your mind enough that you can be aware of your body and, right. and where
and check
you're,
in. Yeah. I love that practice. I was lucky enough to get to do that last Friday at Spirit Play. It's an offering that Interplay Atlanta has where we combine interplay and meditation and poetry, and love it. And you know, I do walking meditation when I'm in my zone, which I have not been for the last couple of weeks. I tend to do a walking meditation every day. But even saying that out loud, it makes me want tomorrow morning to make sure I do that. So
because you have your own labyrinth to go
do
it.
I do.
Very nice.
And it is one of the reasons I created it is because I am more kinesthetic. So I now that I've gotten older, I can tend to meditate by sitting, but it is still hard for me with my ADD brain. Like to sit down and drop into that and turn off my monkey brain.
Well, I think it's good to say that because I think a lot of people get turned off by the idea of meditation because they think you have to sit perfectly still. And for people with joint issues or physical barriers to doing that, it's off-putting and it's daunting, and there's lots of different ways that you can meditate. And yeah, definitely going right. on a walk in the woods. Have you done the one where you're, have you ever tried to be on a walk and see how many senses you can be aware of at one
yeah.
time?
Yeah.
I love that one.
I love it. Well, or walking quietly and not saying anything, like, and really paying attention.
I used to lead hikes like that. I used mm-hmm. to lead meditation hikes for the Trail Dames, and the hardest part of it was getting 10-plus women to not talk.
To not talk, right?
To seriously really right? not talk. Because there'll always be one or two that are like, well, yeah, but I mean, I'm just...
Right.
And it's like, no, you actually have to stop that. Oh, it's okay, I'm just...
No.
Right?
Well, and I mean, and that's something to bring up too, is if you're not used to the practice of being in your body, it can be daunting. It can be intimidating. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes if we've been ignoring our body for a long time, when you get in your body has things to say.
Yeah. And people can right? be very resistant to it if they're nervous about
right?
it.
Right. So be really gentle with yourself and have self-compassion when you're doing that. And if you are the type, I know for myself, what I found helped is doing stretching before I sit to be quiet or doing
kind of
interplay
movement.
Or movement or doing a walk and then sitting. Like, because I mean, I have friends that sometimes like they can just stop what they're doing, sit and drop in. Yeah, that's not me. Like that'll take me like, whoop, you can do that? That's
yeah.
awesome. I love that.
But
and it's not
practice.
Me. Like I need, well, even with practice, my brain doesn't, like
you just
I've got to be in my body. I've got to do a
I
little
do
stretching.
Think, I'm going to say, because when I studied meditation to be a practitioner or mm-hmm. to teach it, and the class that I took, it was online, but it was this guy that was leading it, and it was all about achieving things through meditation, like achieving nirvana, or how long can you sit in meditation? Like, oh, he was able to sit for 12 hours in meditation. And I thought, this is so male.
Right?
Like, and I was like, this is not, like, don't tell, you don't need to tell women that they need to achieve in meditation. They just need a break.
Right?
For crying out loud.
Right?
So he was like, you know, you should be able to get to where you're not thinking of anything. And
there's
I was like,
the problem
no.
there. Should.
Yeah.
Like not shitting
exactly.
all over ourselves,
exactly.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a good goal to reach for is can you focus on one thing?
Right.
If
like
you can
you're breathing.
One thing. Yes. Breathing. Yeah. One of my favorite meditations, if I just have a few minutes, is sound awareness meditation. Just go sit outside and start real close to your face and just like, what do you hear? Like right next to you, and then just kind of send that thought out in waves like further and further away and see how far away you can be aware of sounds. So like especially around here we have so many songbirds and stuff, so you hear all these birds that are close by, but then you'll also hear like a car on the highway or a train
love
off
that.
In the distance like that, and then you just slowly bring that back in again until you're right at your face again. And it's great, and it actually improves your hearing for a day or more. Like you'll be more acutely aware of your hearing for a while.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
So we have a practice in Interplay called Easy Focus. It's a tool we use, and we talk. That kind of reminds me of it because we talk about how you hardcore focus. We call it the number 11s that come up on your forehead when you're like really focusing. On a task, and that oftentimes you need to let that go and have easy focus. And what you just described by like the letting it go and opening your awareness and your senses and your expanding, like how relaxing that is. And how, yes, there's times we need hard focus and there's times we need easy. And I think as women, a lot of times we get, we can blow out our adrenals because we're go, 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 mm-hmm. go, right? And even going to sleep sometimes can be. But talking about favorite meditations, I have an app that I use, and I should peek because I had it in the front of my brain until I went to tell it to you.
Is it Calm? Is it?
Well, I like Calm, but it's actually Insight Timer.
Oh, Insight. Okay.
I love Insight Timer. So it can do a timing meditation with bowls or different sounds, mm-hmm. or there's thousands of people that put their meditations on there, and they can be guided meditations, and you can search, and it's a free app, and you can put in like health and well-being or having trouble sleeping, or so often if I wake up in the middle of the night, my mind is racing, I'll turn on a meditation and go back to sleep with a guided meditation. So that's one of the things I use when I really do need to be guided, when I need to hear somebody else telling me to let go of my thoughts.
Nothing puts me to sleep better than somebody doing a guided meditation. I've done things before where I'm like paying to hear, I'm paying for the services of someone on the phone. And they're like, we're going to close with the meditation, and I'm out.
Right?
Oh, like, my God, man, I love it. I didn't even hear it.
Right? Well, I think we do hear it. I think it's
that's
like
what
that
they
subconscious.
Say, but
I totally
use it.
Right? Yeah, it works for me every time. Well, my friend, we are close to time.
Okay.
So just to wrap, we are going to continue composting. Mm-hmm. We are going to unplug things this week, and we invite you to join us in this challenge, going around your house and seeing what you can unplug. And then we're going to continue on our 20 things. And my goal is to do better than 15 this week. My goal is to...
my goal is going to be the same every
it's
week.
It's going to be 20.
See how well I 20. Can do those 20.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've got room for improvement. So we're going to do that.
But it's 0 to 20 every week. And
right?
I have room for improvement.
So. Right. And then adding in a little meditation.
Yeah, sure.
All right. I look forward to it. So safe journey, and we will check in next week.
Yeah, bye, guys.
All right, bye. Woman feels her power when her voice is being heard. A woman feels her power when her voice.
This has been the Incremental Steps podcast. Our theme music is A Woman Feels Her Power. Big thanks to Karen Drucker for letting us use it. Visit incrementalstepspodcast.com for all kinds of great information. We would love to hear from you.